Okay, don't skip ahead. I'm going to talk to you about climate change. And I know it can get depressing or infuriating, but our show takes a different approach. It's Laura Lynch, and I'm the host of What on Earth, and we're all about solutions and hope. And I promise, no matter how overwhelming climate change might feel, we're with you on the journey to fix this mess. So listen now, wherever you get your podcasts.
This is a CBC podcast.
This is World Report. Good morning, I'm Marcia Young.
For every single one of us who are Marylanders, the words that the Key Bridge is gone, it still shakes us. Because for 47 years, that's all we've known.
Maryland Governor Wes Moore says he is thankful more people were not on the Francis Scott Key Bridge when it collapsed. Part of the bridge fell into the water overnight when a cargo ship ran into one of its pillars. The CBC's Katie Simpson is near Baltimore, close to the bridge. And Katie, officials have given an update. They gave that in the last hour. What can you tell us about that?
The priority right now is the search and rescue mission, and you might be able to hear a little bit of it right now. There's a helicopter searching this area, and right now they are trying to search for six people, members of a construction crew that were on the bridge at the time the cargo ship struck it and sent it collapsing into the water. We are still trying to figure out from authorities exactly who else might be missing or might be trapped at this point. Authorities were able to get a rescue message from the ship when it was experiencing some sort of problem, some sort of power problem in the moments just before it actually struck the bridge. Because of that message, authorities were able to stop and slow the flow of traffic onto the bridge, but it's unclear if how many vehicles were actually on the bridge at the time it collapsed. Right now, the Coast Guard is working with the FBI, is working with local authorities. They are using sonar to try and search for any sort of signs of life. It's a very difficult search given the weather conditions. The water is quite cold, and that is the number one priority right now. The investigation, what led up to this incident, that is taking a back seat in this moment. The one thing authorities are very clear on, at this point, they say there are no signs that this is terrorism related. At this point, it's looking like a really bad accident.
This all started to unfold at about 1:30 this morning. What else can you see happening there now?
From my position, I'm about 200 meters from where this actual collapse took place. It's the foot of a bridge, a very busy commuter bridge, where about 35,000 people every day take this route to and from work. And the bridge, it sort of takes off, and then it looks as if someone came in with a giant saw and just snapped it. There are pieces of debris from the bridge itself jutting out from the water. The water is not very deep here, so much of the debris is just shooting up. Some of it's even taller than what's left of the bridge. It's very much a chaotic scene. There are a lot of police and first responders because, again, the priority right now is trying to save lives.
Thank you, Katie.
Thanks.
The CBC's Katie Simpson reporting from near Baltimore. WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange will not be extradited to the United States just yet. A UK high court says it will grant him a new appeal unless US authorities guarantee they will not impose the death penalty. American officials have promised Assange he would not receive capital punishment, but the judges want a stronger assurance. Sean Diddy Combs is being investigated by U.S. officials. The Department of Homeland Security raided some of the hip-hop artist's properties overnight. Freelance reporter Steve Futterman has the latest.
It happened without warning in two locations, here in L.A. and across the country in Miami. Simultaneous raids at homes belonging to Sean Combs.
Federal agents would execute search warrants simultaneously to make sure that they don't want anybody in Los Angeles calling people in Miami.
Attorney Jessica Levinson, although no one is saying it officially, sources indicate the search warrants are connected with sex trafficking investigations. Former FBI agent Josh Campbell.
From the moment that we first saw those SWAT vehicles roll up, that was an indication for those in law enforcement that we're likely talking about sex trafficking.
Outside Combs' home here in L.A. yesterday, neighbors talked about some of the supposed activities that have taken place inside.
There's always been rumors circulated in the media about like the wild sex parties.
Since late last year, Combs has been the subject of a number of lawsuits accusing him of sexual abuse. One involved his former partner, Cassandra Ventura. She accused Combs of years of sexual abuse and rape. Legal analyst Danny Savalas.
The fact that Diddy's home was raided means that agents were able to show probable cause that a crime was committed.
Last December, Combs said on social media, "I did not do any of the awful things being alleged." Yesterday, he said nothing. Steve Futterman for CBC News, Los Angeles.
CBC News has learned a Canadian could be doing the propaganda for ISIS-K. It is an offshoot of ISIS based in Afghanistan. And last week, it claimed responsibility for an attack on a Moscow concert hall. The CBC's Ben McCoo has this exclusive story.
The ISIS attack in Moscow is widely believed to be linked to its offshoot based in eastern Afghanistan, ISIS-K. Now information has emerged that one of its propagandists claims to be Canadian. CBC News has obtained copies of The Voice of Khorasan, the English-language propaganda magazine of ISIS-K. In it, an author who goes by Suleiman Dawood al-Kanadi, Arabic for the Canadian. He rails against Muslim men in the West, where he infers he lives, and says they would rather put on skinny jeans than fight for ISIS. Ricardo Valle is the director of research at the Islamabad-based Khorasan Diary. He tracks jihadist groups and made contact with al-Kanadi online.
In his alleged Facebook profile, it was said that he was from Toronto and living in Laval, Quebec.
In recent years, ISIS-K has been building up its global operations. Before Moscow, it was Iran, where bombings killed dozens of people.
The Moscow attack in particular is shifting the narrative and awakening the international community to the threat.
Lucas Weber, a conflict researcher and co-founder of The Militant Wire, also tracked al-Kanadi.
The fact that he was able to operate for so long on such a public scale is concerning.
The RCMP has not yet commented to CBC News regarding al-Kanadi or his whereabouts. Ben Maku, CBC News, Toronto.
China is rejecting claims it is involved in a campaign of widespread cyber espionage. On Monday, the UK formally accused China of targeting MPs and hacking Britain's Electoral Commission. Officials say the data of 40 million voters may have been accessed. Beijing says the UK's claims are unfounded, malicious slander. The Parliamentary Committee on China-Canada Relations has decided to investigate the firing of two scientists at Winnipeg's microbiology lab. Intelligence documents released last month allege they were sharing information with Beijing. MPs say it is critical to take a closer look at the security breach, especially as Canada prepares to build another Level 4 lab. It will be based at the University of Saskatchewan. Karen Pauls has more.
Well, it's all about being ready for the next disease.
Volker Gerrits heads the Vaccine and Infectious Disease Organization, or VITO. He's upgrading his lab at the University of Saskatchewan to open Canada's second Level 4 laboratory next year.
The pandemic has shown us that Canada largely depended on other countries to do the critical research, but also develop vaccines.
Gary Kobinger was the head of the Special Pathogens Unit for the National Microbiology Lab in Winnipeg until 2016. He says there is room for two Level 4 labs in Canada, one focused on basic science and public health, and the other at VITO producing vaccines and therapeutics.
The big strength, I think, also is that VITO is not a government-owned operation. And which means that they have a lot more flexibility.
As of last year, there were 51 Level 4 labs in 27 countries, roughly double the number 10 years ago. Another 18, including Saskatchewan's, are being planned or under construction. Philip Alensos is a biosecurity expert at King's College London.
When you are working with dangerous pathogens, risks are that you might become infected, that you might infect others. Other risks relate to things like security concerns, who has access to the lab.
Lenso says Canada's standards are some of the most stringent in the world. And Ottawa is doing even more consultations to improve biosafety and biosecurity. Karen Pauls, CBC News, Winnipeg.
Wind and rain are slowing down government efforts to get Canadians out of Haiti. 18 people were going to be taken by helicopter to the Dominican Republic yesterday. André-François Giroux is Canada's ambassador to Haiti.
We were all ready to go, and unfortunately, the weather on the Dominican side was not very good, heavy rain and wind. We decided to postpone the operation for the safety of everybody.
The government says the Canadians who were supposed to leave are in a safe place, but the situation in Haiti is unstable. Armed gangs control most of the capital. The government says it will resume its effort to fly people to the Dominican Republic as soon as weather permits. And that is the latest national and international news from World Report. News anytime, cbcnews.ca. I'm Marcia Young.
For more CBC podcasts, go to cbc.ca/podcasts.